Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Text line 913-586-7965. Someone on the text line said, well, what about DeVonta Smith? Yeah, we're talking about an undersized wide receiver, but I also think it's important to note that DeVonta Smith was a far better college prospect than Xavier Worthy. It's not an indictment on Xavier Worthy. I mean, DeVonta Smith won the Heisman Trophy when he was in college. At wide receiver, there's, what, three of them that have won the Heisman Trophy in the last 30 years? So if that's the expectation, well, DeVonta Smith did it, why can't Xavier Worthy did it? Then they're just not the same prospect. Like, not really in any way. Like, we never talked about Xavier Worthy as being an elite route runner. That is exactly what DeVonta Smith was at Alabama. So I am not surprised that DeVonta Smith was able to translate a lot better to the league and find a role a lot sooner. We always talked about Xavier Worthy as being the down the field speed guy. Well, if teams are taking the down the field speed stuff away from you, how else are you getting yourself open? How else are you able to impact the offense? So I certainly get the comparison. DeVonta Smith was that player. That's just not who I ever expected Xavier Worthy to be.
I also think that with the production level that we got from Rashee Rice at the end of last season, I think also put pressure on Xavier Worthy, because the entire conversation about rookies in an Andy Reid system is that there have been two guys that have been immediately successful in an Andy Reid system as rookies. It's Jeremy Maclin, it's DeSean Jackson. And when we were coming into last year, right, it was Rashee Rice was sort of put to the back burner because we thought we had a different style of offense. Then the offense, wide receiver-wise, fell apart, and Rice began to pick up the offense and ran with it. But that only happened at the end of the season, right? It was the back half of the season. And then coming into this year, I think there were expectations. It was like, hey, look, a rookie that was successful in the offense last year, he can pick it up too. And I just think that that was already a bad comparison because of what happened during last year's offense.
Yeah, I just think that this is just kind of his role, and a lot of people are making the DeSean Jackson comparisons. I also would argue that DeSean Jackson was a better prospect coming out of college than Xavier Worthy. I'm fine with letting Xavier Worthy's journey kind of be what his journey is, and let's just see what he can be. I don't know if it's fair to say, well, because last year what we saw with Rashee Rice, I think we now have enough evidence to know that Rashee Rice was probably underdrafted, but because of the off-the-field stuff that probably scared some teams off and he fell to the second round because they kind of knew about some of the character issues behind the scenes with Rashee Rice. So I just think Rice is a little bit of a different prospect than he is. I'm willing to give Xavier Worthy a little bit more time to kind of figure this thing out and see what it looks like for him and him just kind of figuring out the NFL game. Like, we got to give him, I think, a little bit of time to be able to figure out the NFL game. All right, let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, because this is the thing about the Bengals that is a little bit surprising to me with kind of my back and forth with Chiefs fans yesterday, because some people don't really want to throw dirt on the Cincinnati Bengals. And in a lot of ways, I get why you don't want to throw dirt on the Bengals. There's really, I would say, three tiers of teams right now in the AFC. This is going to be oversimplistic, but I think it's also the truth. All right, there's three tiers. Tier one is the teams that we actually think can do something. Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore. There's that tier. Maybe you want to put Houston and Pittsburgh into that conversation. All right, fine. But there's that tier of teams. I would then say there is the middle. The Jets are in the middle. Cincinnati's in the middle. Indianapolis, Denver, Los Angeles. There's those teams. And then the other group of teams are the dregs of the league. All the teams that have a potential chance of having the number one overall pick. Miami has a chance. New England has a chance. Cleveland, Jacksonville, the Raiders. All of those teams legitimately have a case to be the worst team in the National Football League. So if you're telling me that you are giving Cincinnati a chance because they're not the Raiders or the Titans, sure. Of course, I agree with that. But I just don't know what we've seen from Cincinnati over the course of the first 10 weeks of the season, what we saw last year, to put them in a conversation where you think they're now about to get healthy, get right, and start playing consistent. The Bengals, since the Burrowhead comments, they are 13-15. They are 7-7 in home games. So if you've already lost to the New England Patriots, you just can't really play the schedule game with me. Oh, well, look at their schedule. They're supposed to win. Well, weren't they supposed to beat New England to kick off the season? Didn't we think coming into the year that they were supposed to beat the Washington Commanders at home? I mean, in the first 4 weeks of the season, they played three of the teams that picked in the top five, and they're still under 500. Like, remember the old quote from Bill Parcells, like, you are what your record is? When does that officially kick in? Because we believe that about the good teams, right? Like, we all believe that about Kansas City. You believe that about Buffalo. You believe that about Baltimore. You believe that about Detroit. All the teams that we think are good, we believe they are what their record are. We also believe that for all the teams in the bad. I don't hear anybody telling me the Giants are way better than their record is. I don't hear anybody telling me that about Carolina or New Orleans. We're only arguing that for teams that are pretty inconsistent, that are in the middle. And I get that part of it. But what has Cincinnati done to show you that they are going to separate themselves from that group of about 10 or 11 teams and play like the first half of teams? They have used up all of their goodwill. They're 4-6. I looked a little closer at their schedule. Quentin, the Bengals have one game between now and the 1st of December. Think about that. They have one game between now and then. They play on Sunday next week. They have a bye week, and their game is on the 1st of December. So they got a lot of time to kind of get right. But when it comes to time, all right, you have six losses already. The teams that you're going up against, a team like the Chargers, they only have three losses. So you've used up a lot of your strikes, so to speak. You got to play nearly flawless football down the stretch for you to get back into this thing if you're the Bengals. You have to at least, in my opinion, win nine games if you were trying to make the postseason. I don't think that 8-9 is going to get you into the playoffs in the AFC. All right, if you think that the Bengals are going to go 9-8, you're telling me you think they're going to play 5-2 football down the stretch. That's what you think. You think they're going to play 5-2 football down the stretch. And the Bengals just haven't played consistently enough to me where I think you can look at their schedule and find games like on the road against the Chargers. They play Pittsburgh a couple of times. They play Denver. They go on the road and play a couple of these other teams that can maybe be a little bit competitive. They just haven't played well enough that I think you can eyeball their schedule and have them playing 60%, 65% winning football down the stretch. They haven't shown to be that kind of team. So I will continue to fade the Bengals until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I think when you just look at the Bengals, I think a lot of people are saying, hey, look, Joe Burrow is having a great year. Ja'Marr Chase is having an explosive year. And I think that's hiding to a lot of fans just how bad that defense is. It is an awful defense. It's a lot like Baltimore, right? Where people are talking about, you know, Baltimore is one of the top teams in the AFC because of their offense, because of Lamar and their run game. And it's just hiding the fact that Baltimore's defense is really bad. The difference is that Baltimore has found ways to win games, and the Bengals, on the other hand, have found ways to lose games. How many one-score games have we seen the Bengals go in and lose? Well, they found a way to lose in Kansas City. They found a way to lose last night. So even though they are playing, you know, these quote-unquote close games and they're playing these competitive games, they have found ways to lose games, and that's what bad teams do. That's why the Bengals are a bad team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and I understand they've played one more game than some of these other teams in the league. There is only one team in the National Football League that has given up more points than the Bengals. It's Carolina. One team. Now, sure, maybe that will change over the course of it, but, I mean, a team like New Orleans, for example, a team that's not good, New Orleans would have to give up 40 points this week to give up more points than what Cincinnati has given up so far this season. I just don't think if you're going to be a bottom five defense in the league, I just don't know if you're turning things around if you've already built yourself such a deficit. Like, we can have this conversation about the Ravens because the Ravens, their defense is also pretty bad too. Now, their quarterback has been fantastic and they've won a lot of these close games, but are you winning the Super Bowl if you're 29th in pass defense the way that they are? Like, that's where Baltimore is right now. Baltimore is 30th in points given up, and they are the absolute – they are 32nd in yards given up via the pass. I just don't know if you're winning the Super Bowl with that formula. So what I saw yesterday was two fun teams. Burrow got going yesterday. Jamar Chase got going yesterday. Lamar's running around the field and doing Lamar Jackson things, and they are incredibly fun. But if I'm talking to a fan base that kind of knows what you got to be able to do in the postseason and what the formula is to advance and win those games, you think that Baltimore or Cincinnati has that kind of formula? At some point, you got to be able to get off the field. And what the Ravens are trying to do is what the 2017-18 Kansas City Chiefs tried to do. What the Bengals are trying to do is they're trying to do that version of the Chiefs without having Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. That is not a winning strategy for you. That might be a winning strategy for Patrick Mahomes. And eventually, what happened to that Chiefs team? They bumped their head against a team that had all the makeup of things that they didn't have. They ran into the Patriots that can run the football. They can play good defense. They can get off the field. They can get stops. That can slow you down a little bit. I came away from that. I've already felt this way about the Bengals. I came out of this more and more of, man, we're past the halfway point and we have seen 10 Baltimore Ravens games. You have a bottom five defense in the league. Are you going to be able to beat Buffalo and Kansas City potentially in back-to-back weeks if you can't get off the field against either one of those teams' quarterbacks? You are playing a very dangerous game if that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and if you're talking about moving forward to the playoffs, you know, we talk a lot about how poor Lamar Jackson has played in the playoffs, and then you want to take that history and then try and play with a bad defense in Baltimore. Now, maybe, you know, you get the number two spot and you get a pretty pushover easy team, you know, that makes the seventh wild card seed, pick whatever team that might end up there. So, yeah, maybe Baltimore wins one playoff game. But as soon as they have to face somebody who has competent defense and a competent offense, I think Baltimore is going to get pushed out of the playoffs. And it's the same thing with the Bengals. Every time we see them play a competent defense or a competent offense, it just seems like everything falls apart for them. And it's why they're a bad team.
Coming up on the other side, I'm going to say something positive about Kansas basketball. I can't tell you how long that's going to be. It could be for 30 seconds. It might be for 5 minutes. Who knows? But I promise you that coming up on the other side, I will give KU one of the greatest compliments that I can give any team that we follow. Keep it right here, it's The Drive.
Everywhere you look, things are getting more expensive. So at Consumer Cellular, we're lowering the price for those 50 and up. Now you can get unlimited talk, text, and data for $30 a line when you buy two. That's just $60 a month for two unlimited lines. So if you're 50 and up, make the switch and save. Come on, you've earned this. Call 1-888-FREEDOM. Or visit ConsumerCellular.com today. Requires two lines of service, age validation, and credit approval subject to system and area limits, taxes, and other fees apply.
This Thanksgiving at Total Wine & More, find Pinot Noirs and Cabernets that you adore. Our helpful guides are so friendly and nice. So many bottles to try at the lowest price. So gather with friends as you sit down to eat. Grateful for all who made Thanksgiving complete.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21. Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs fans, it's Rashee Rice. Welcome to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Sometimes I realize that maybe I've been doing this job for too long when I work with people like Quentin. Quentin is, how old are you, Quentin, 23?
25.
I was right, I mean, the first time. And I might have to put a clause in my contract the next time I got to re-up. If you don't remember when the Game Boy was, it was in black and white.
Well,
and then
on.
It just one day it magically was in color and you saw that Pikachu was yellow. Change your life. If you don't remember that, I don't know if you can be on this show.
Don't hold on. You're throwing shade in the wrong direction.
You don't remember those days. You don't remember where you had the old Game Boy.
Yeah, and you had to get the light.
And it came with Tetris. And then magically, they started putting the Game Boy in all these fluorescent colors, and the Game Boy was in color. If you don't remember that, I don't know if you can work on this show. That's what this show is based on. If you didn't come home from school to watch TRL, this isn't the show for you to be working on.
I had the Game Boy. You know, and then you had
the Game Boy DS. That was your first one.
No, I did not. You're throwing shade in the wrong direction here, C-Dot. You got to wait. You got to wait a couple more years before a producer gets on here and didn't grow up. And their first Nintendo experience was the 3DS.
No, okay? your first Nintendo was the Wii. That's how you know you don't need to be on the show.
Out here playing Wii bowling for the first time.
Yeah, that's what it was. That was your first game. Wii bowling. All right. I don't want to spend too much time on this because I try to avoid doing this. I want to give Kansas basketball a lot of credit. And again, you can time me. I don't think this is going to be very long. In fact, I don't really want it to be very long, but they're playing North Carolina today in basketball. So I try to be fair, balanced, and objective. That's what this show is about. Fair and balanced coverage is what we provide. By far and away, the most impressive thing about KU is if you are someone like Quentin's age, you have never seen them be bad. If you are under the age of 40 years old, you cannot point to a season in which KU has been bad. And bad by everybody's standard of bad, not just KU's version. North Carolina is incredible. They're incredible, right? They might be the top number one program in college basketball over the last 100 years. In 2019, they went 14-19 and missed the NCAA tournament. In 2009, they outright missed the NCAA tournament. They've gone to the NIT in our lifetime. In 2001, North Carolina went 8-20. That ain't never happened in Lawrence. I can't think of a single other team in American sports, maybe Ohio State football, that has been good our entire life. Everybody goes through a cycle. The Patriots have gone through a cycle. The Chiefs went through a cycle. You get a run, right? You get a 5-year stretch, a 10-year stretch. Maybe it's like the Patriots and you get a 20-year stretch, but eventually your run ends and then another team picks it up and runs with it. Every other program, every other team, every other entity that we can think of in American sports, they've had a down period. Not KU. Never. Not once. So as we have these conversations about a blue blood, and Duke is incredible, North Carolina is incredible, UConn, they've been fantastic. What separates KU from all of these other programs that we discuss is they don't have a bad year ever. And their bad year is them winning 24 games and being a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. So wait, you're telling me they're one of the top 16 teams in the country? That's bad? No, bad is what the rest of us have to experience. Bad is missing the tournament. Bad is Missouri hasn't won a basketball game at any point in 2024. K-State has seen some bad years. K-State hated their coach for the last 2 years of his time, and they won the Big 12 with that coach. The rest of us know what it's like to have our teams be down. You have no understanding of it if you cheer for KU basketball. So today, as we are celebrating greatness in college basketball, KU been great. North Carolina's been great. The greatness in Lawrence is just drastically different than the greatness everywhere else.
You know, I can't, even when I was, when you toss this topic to us to go behind the screen a little bit, you were like, no team in American sports has been bad. I even tried to go baseball and think, oh, is there might be a baseball team with how much money. But it's like the Dodgers have had down times, right? So I think that even across all professional sports, that there isn't a team that has been able to beat the ebbs and flows that comes with this. Maybe there's a hockey team that I just don't know about. I don't know if about hockey, but I'm going to go ahead and say that there has been no professional sports that have gone through anything like, you know, what KU has gone through. And luckily for all of us people, you know, their football team has been bad enough that we can laugh at them for that, and then we just don't pay attention to them in March.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, and someone makes a good comparison. I mean, the only comparison that I think we have is UConn women. That's the only thing that's anywhere close to KU. Like, that's the only thing that's close. Quentin, they've made the NCAA tournament every year you've been alive. Kentucky can't say that. Duke can't say that. North Carolina. None of these other programs can say that they have made the tournament every single year for 25 seasons the way that Kansas can. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible what they have been able to accomplish over the course of the last 50 years or so. So today, again, I think today is about celebrating excellence in college basketball. And I really do think it's cool that these two teams have decided to play each other and play each other in this fashion. Like, they have decided to play each other in this way. The last time that KU won less than 20 games, Quinn, the last time they won less than 20 games was in 1988. Think about that. That's the last time they won less than 20 games. Even then, they went 19-12. I just told you guys, North Carolina went 8-20 in the last 20 years. It's different. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what sorcery they got going on in Lawrence. But I'm telling you, their down years, it's not really a down year. You're just not the best team in the conference. Their down years are drastically different than everybody else in the National Football League. I do want to, or in college basketball, I do want to ask you this question about the Chiefs and kind of get where you are. So last week, I told you guys, I was completely staying away from the spread. I thought that Tampa Bay was the right side to be on because the number had gotten so big and the Chiefs don't really run away from opponents. So we had Mark Schlereth on the show yesterday, and this is what he said about the Chiefs.
And I think the biggest thing for me, When I watch Kansas City Chiefs, and this is not just Patrick Mahomes. This is Mahomes, this is the offense, this is the defense, special teams. Whenever they have to make a critical play, somebody on that roster makes a critical play, whether it's defense or offense or special teams. And that's the thing that I just have so much respect for the way they play the game, is in critical moments, Patrick Mahomes makes a critical play. And you saw it in the overtime against Tampa the other night. It's like they lose the coin toss, and you know, Baker Mayfield just closes his eyes and throws his head back because he knows it's over. Like, oh, shoot, we just gave Patrick Mahomes the ball. See you later. We lost the game. Why didn't we go for two? I mean, you could see it on his face. And I just respect how great, as much as I hate it, and I hate giving you guys this, you know, satisfaction, I love watching the guy play, and they're just really, really good, and they're fun to watch. And you know, and they're good at every level, so it's not just one side of the ball.
Has there only been one game this season that it has been outside of a one-score game in the fourth quarter? I'm trying to go back and I'm trying to think about how they beat the New Orleans Saints. I mean, the Saints, that game was just never really close, never really competitive. The Chiefs really dominated New Orleans in a lot of fashions. The one thing that I think you kind of wish for with Kansas City, and it's kind of weird to say for a team that is clearly the best team in the National Football League, is you wish they kind of had the ability to kind of run away from somebody. And I at least have been trying to think about why I feel the way I feel about this game. Admittedly, this game has me a little bit nervous. I think the Broncos are a little bit better than people think. I think their defense is pretty competitive, and I think they do some things that kind of pose some trouble for some of the better teams in the league. Is I would feel a lot better if I felt the Chiefs had an ability to blow Denver out in this game. Where, say what you want about Baltimore, Baltimore is able to put it on you. Buffalo, in certain situations, can really run it up on you. Detroit is a team that can really just hammer you in these matchups. I don't really trust Kansas City to kind of run away in this game, and that's why the spread, I understand why they put the line where they put them, but, I mean, this game opened up at the Chiefs as a 9-point favorite. The Chiefs don't beat teams by more than 10 points. So that just always felt a little bit off. The number has come down a little bit over the course of the last couple of days. You can get it at 7.5. You can get it at 7, depending on where you get your number. That feels about right to me with where the Chiefs should be favored in this game. But, Quinton, like, as I think about it, what scares me most about this game is you just know it's going to be close in the final 20 minutes, the final 15 minutes of this game heading into the fourth quarter. And are you going to continue to be able to make the one or two more plays every single week than your opposition? Where I would like one of the games where just the Chiefs go out there and, hey, they get up 21-3 in the first half. The offense is just flowing. Their defense is an obvious passing down, so they're getting after the quarterback. And it isn't a fourth quarter that you really have to worry about because the Chiefs played a real complete game. I don't know if we know what that looks like for the Chiefs at this point. Now, some of that is just due to the injuries. They haven't had a full complement of roster, so how can you play a complete game if you don't have your complete team? But what does that game look like for Kansas City where we can come away and say the Chiefs played their best? I'm not sure if we've seen that yet this season.
I don't think we've seen that either. And luckily for Kansas City, the Denver Broncos only have one good win this year. And it was when they beat Tampa Bay 26-7 early in the year before all the injuries happened to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But other than that, if you look at, you know, good teams in the NFL, they've either been blown out by them or they haven't been very close. Obviously, last week, the 41-10 loss against Baltimore. Baltimore was able to get pressure on Bo Nix, and he was able to force him, you know, to make bad decisions and get rid of the ball quickly. And then even some of the mid-tier teams they face, they beat Seattle, or they lost to Seattle 26-20. So you have a good team facing a mediocre team, and you know they were able to keep it close. But a full game by Kansas City, you're right, we haven't seen that, and I don't know how you convince yourself that you're going to be able to see it. I think that the Chiefs, in order to shut this Broncos offense down, I think they just need to blitz, and blitz again, because Bo Nix just overthrows a lot of passes, and I think it's why their offense has been limited, because if you look at what the Broncos do, you know, they throw the ball a bit, but those completions aren't coming, and it's why his completion percentage to those short yards seems to be his best, right? You know, Sean Payton and Drew Brees, right? Remember towards the end of Sean Payton's and Drew Brees era, it was just a lot of checkdowns. And so we're seeing that from the Broncos. I don't think that Kansas City has to be super effective on offense in order to win this game, because I think the defense is going to carry the torch for this game, and it comes down to Bo Nix.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that Bo Nix has been pretty limited. I'm really big on a couple of different stats in evaluating quarterback play. Yards per attempt is really big for me. Really shows how you're pushing the ball down the field and how efficient you are in the pass game. Bo Nix is at 6.0 yards per attempt. So a lot of those checkdowns that you just mentioned, he's also completing 62% of his passes. So he's been fine, but he's also been a rookie young quarterback. What does that young quarterback look like up against an elite defense, one that really shows you a lot of different looks, can get after the quarterback, and has one of the better secondaries in the National Football League? I think one of the keys to the Chiefs in this game, at least from the defensive side, is going to be, do you force Bo Nix to really play from the pocket and be a pocket passer? That's just not who he is. He's been one of the more effective running quarterbacks in the league. He's actually sixth in the NFL in rushing yards this year. He has 300 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns. He's very much in the middle of everything that they do in terms of their run game, and him kind of getting going kind of gets the rest of their team going. He's averaging almost 35 yards a game when talking about running the football. So is this defense going to be able to keep Bo Nix in the pocket, make him throw it 30, 35 times? Because if that's the case, to what you just said, he probably gives you one or two possessions just off a turnover, just off a mistake, just off of over usage. And that's where you can really take advantage of a young, inexperienced QB.
Yeah, and we know that Steve Spagnuolo loves those really complicated blitzes, right? I have a feeling we're going to see some defensive edge guys drop back into coverage. You know, I think Felix Anudike Uzomah is going to drop back into coverage, and we're all going to put our hands on our head and be like, what are you doing? And then you're going to get a cornerback blitz, and Bo Nix is going to get sacked. I imagine we're going to see quite a bit of that. I think that really the biggest matchup, and I think is an underrated matchup, is the Broncos' defense is actually really good against the run. They have the 8th best rush defense in terms of yards per carry in the NFL. You know, they're only giving up 4 yards per carry all season, and they face some pretty good run defenses or running teams. So, you know, my question is Kansas City able to keep this run offense going against a team that has been shown consistently to be able to stop running backs here? Because if you're able to run the ball against this team, then I don't know what the Broncos can do on the defensive side to slow you down.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to give the Broncos defense a little bit of credit. They've only allowed 2 teams to score more than 21 points this year. Seattle scored 26 points against them early on in the season, and Baltimore last week, they scored 41 points against them. I mean, we've talked about it this week. This is a really important and telling stretch for the Broncos. If you got questions about Denver coming into this, I don't think anyone would fault you. Their first win was on the road against Tampa Bay when Tampa Bay was fully healthy. A little bit of a surprise. Since then, their last 4 wins have been the Jets, Raiders, Saints, and the Panthers. So certainly not a murderer's row and a who's who. They played a good team in Baltimore. They got ran off the field. They go on the road to play Kansas City, the best team in the league. And they go on the road to play the Atlanta Falcons, who could be the 2nd best team in the NFC, certainly in the conversation after the Lions on who the next best team in the NFC is. So this is a very telling stretch. This is not the Saints or the Panthers or the weak NFC South, at least at the bottom half of it. You're playing the favorite in the AFC and one of the favorites in the NFC, and you've already been blown out. So in a lot of ways for Denver, this is a really telling matchup. The same way we talk about the Chiefs and it being a trap game in the sense that you played on Monday Night Football, you play Buffalo next week, and this game is sandwiched in the middle. This is coming off a game in which you guys got embarrassed. If you're a playoff team, do you get back on track? Do you play really competitive against Kansas City and kind of play with a little bit of pride? But they got embarrassed last week against the Ravens. That game was never close in the last 30 minutes or so.
No, and it was because, you know, Derrick Henry had over 100 yards. Lamar Jackson, he did a lot what we saw last night against the Bengals where, you know, they were able to put pressure on him, but they were never able to get him down. So he was able to do some crazy stuff and able to get yards, do Lamar Jackson-esque stuff. But you're right about this Broncos defense, right? They've been able to play close in some of these games. They're 3rd in the NFL in points per game at 17.9 points. So, you know, Kansas City, I don't think they're going to have to score a lot. I really think that the big matchup is going to be whether or not Kansas City can run the ball. I know Kareem Hunt was limited earlier in the week on the injury report. I do expect him to play, but is he going to be able to hold through another really physical game? Are you going to have to get him 20 carries again in order for you to keep the chains moving? Or because of DeAndre Hopkins, do we see a shift in the way the Chiefs offense runs and they say, hey, look, this is a good rush defense. Let's start to pass it a little more and get DeAndre Hopkins and Travis Kelce more involved in the passing game early on.
Coming up in a little bit, we're going to play a game. I'll let you guys know what the game's going to be in a little bit. I'll give a call and then we can give you guys a chance to win a pizza. Before we do that, let's talk a little bit of college football here before we open up the phone lines. There's three lines that just don't really make a lot of sense to me this week in college football that involve teams that are very much in the playoff mix. The first one is here in Kansas City. Iowa State, they are a 2.5-point favorite against Kansas. Iowa State is 7-1. They lost in the last 30 seconds last week, and KU has been one of the more disappointing teams in the country. You would think that Iowa State would be a 6.5-point, maybe a 7.5-point favorite. Vegas is telling you that this is kind of a coin flip. Just based on the spread, they're telling you that they think this is a 55-45 kind of game, not in terms of score, but just percentage of winning. A little bit surprising in this matchup, like everything is telling me, no, Iowa State takes control of this game, and even if KU is in it, what we've seen KU do over the course of the season is they just find a way to lose close ball games. So I'm a little bit surprised that the spread is that close on that. Army is a 3-point favorite on the road against North Texas. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that game, but Army very much is still in the college football playoff conversation. So one group of five team has to make it. So one of the other schools has to make it. So that's right now, if you look at the college football rankings, why Boise State is in there. I don't think Boise State's one of the 12 best teams in college football, but it has to be room for one of those teams. Army plays Notre Dame coming up in a couple of weeks. If Army is undefeated with the win against Notre Dame at home, Army absolutely should be included in the college football playoff, but they're only a 3-point favorite on the road against North Texas. A little bit surprising to me. And the last one, and maybe this is because this is a rivalry game, BYU is a 3-point favorite on the road against Utah. Utah has had quarterback issues, but Utah's at home at night in a rivalry game, so maybe that's where the spike gets a little bit dicey. I mean, college football history will tell you that one of these three teams is going to lose because that's just how this works. Now, Iowa State, they're not in a traditional road game, but it's kind of a road game. You got Army on the road and BYU on the road. I know we have the big dog games in the SEC that are going to determine who makes the playoff and who doesn't make the playoffs, but those are three other games between Iowa State, Army, and BYU that they're not the marquee sexy matchup, but they absolutely decide who is going to the college football playoff. Iowa State is still very much in this thing. They have to win out. Whoever wins that game between K-State and Iowa State, that is probably the team that's going to end up going to Arlington for the Big 12 championship game. Army, they still got an opportunity to go undefeated. They still got a shot at the playoff. And obviously BYU, they're undefeated. They're going on the road to play their rival who they have already kind of ruined and crashed and burned their season. They want nothing more than to do the exact same thing at home against the Cougars. All right, we need one caller, 913-586-7965. We are going to give one of you, exactly one of you, a chance to win a pizza. I'll tell you the rules of the game next. Keep it right here, so drive.
Patrick Mahomes joins CDOT every week during the season, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Quinn, before we play this game, we're going to play it here momentarily. During the commercial break, I was just scrolling on Instagram for a little bit, and Shannon Sharp was on his podcast, and they were asking, how much do you usually spend on a date? And Shannon Sharp said $300, and it just let me know that some people just live very different kind of lives. That's the average. Have you ever spent $300 on any date?
No.
On any date?
I've never been to a restaurant and spent $300 on myself.
Yeah, like that's the average. That's crazy. I don't know what's going on here. But hey, different strokes for different folks. All right, so coming up in about 15 minutes, Nate Taylor's going to join us in studio. We're going to talk all the foosball. We'll talk about the Chiefs. We'll talk about D-Hop. We'll talk about the Bengals. We'll talk about the Ravens. Talk about all the football things. But before we do that, let's play a game that we haven't played yet this season. This is a very simple game. We are going to play from Manning to Bo Nix. So I've written down every quarterback who has started for the Broncos since Peyton Manning's last start and leading up to Bo Nix's start. All you have to do is name as many of those quarterbacks in 30 seconds. George, we're going to play with you here momentarily. You are going up against Drew. Very simple. If you name as many or more quarterbacks as Drew, I give you a pizza. If not, I hang up on you and we give your pizza to somebody on the text line. George, do you understand the rules to the game?
I understand the rules. I'm hungry for a pizza, but I think I'm going to go away hungry on these questions.
All right, George, you know what? Let's have a little bit of confidence here, George. Let's give me some confidence here. All right, I'm going to have Quentin play some music here. So from Peyton Manning's last start up until Bo Nix, I want you to name as many Broncos quarterbacks that have started for them during that time frame. Quentin, on your mark, get set, go. George, go ahead, man.
I'm trying to go. I got a blank running.
You know what, George? Let me put you on hold here. You know what, George? Turn the music off. Let's give George a pizza because George was a trooper. I at least want somebody to play. George wasn't getting one. George wasn't getting one. So you know what? I'm going to be nice here. Let's give George the pizza anyway. He sounded like an older listener. That's not me stereotyping. He just sounded like an older listener. Let's give George the pizza anyway. Take his information, give him a large two-topping pizza on me, take it from my personal stash. All right, Trenton, I'm not letting you off the hook here, Trenton. Are you ready to play? Trenton, you there? Trenton's not there. We're not playing the game with anybody. Quentin, this is your fault. No, I'm blaming you for this, Quentin. There's only one person I can blame for this. I have to blame you.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, I have to blame you for this. I wanted to play the game. Are we going to play the game today? George was not, he was not prepared. He wasn't going to play the game. You know, we'll wait. We'll just play later. How about that? We'll play later today. We'll play later. I don't want to play right now. Phone lines blowing up. Where were you a while ago? George was the only one man enough to step up and play. Someone on the text line did say, shout out to Red Lobster. You would never spend $300 there. It's exactly why I love Red Lobster. There's no other place that I can think of in which you could get a 5-star Michelin star dinner at the price that you can like Red Lobster. You're getting some of the best cuts of meat, some of the best lobster and crab that America, maybe the world, has to offer. And you're getting the legendary Cheddar Bay biscuits, and they're going to get you out of there for less than $100, less than $125. That's why there will never be any Red Lobster disrespect, not on this show. Maybe on the text line, you guys disrespect Red Lobster. You will never, ever get any. You will never get any level of disrespect to Red Lobster. Not for me. Not on this show. No, not at all. I will never, ever be a part of that. I have one more positive KU thought, and I promise you guys that this is the last positive KU thought that I'm going to have for the rest of the week. After this, I will not have a single positive KU basketball thought after this one. We talk a lot about in sports, maybe in life in general, how hard it is to be the guy that replaces the guy. I think about it, Alabama, you got to replace Nick Saban, and they're having a little bit of struggles, but struggles is relative to just who Alabama is. This is a pretty common thing. You got to be the coach that replaces Bill Belichick. This is going to happen in Kansas City whenever Andy Reid is done being the head coach and somebody has to take over. Inevitably, you are compared to that individual. It's tough. It's crazy that KU replaced Roy Williams, who is one of the 10 best college basketball coaches of his generation. And now that might even be generous. He might be one of the 5 best college basketball coaches of his generation. They replaced Roy Williams, and they got better. There's no scenario that happens. K-State is a fantastic program. Chris Klieman is an amazing head coach. You didn't get better after replacing Bill Snyder. You haven't been better. You've been still really good. You were not better than you were with Bill Snyder. Nebraska, they've had good coaches since then, I guess, kinda. You have not been better since replacing Tom Osborne. The fact that KU had had Roy Williams for 15 years, replaced Roy Williams with Bill Self, and Bill Self has undeniably been better than Roy Williams, is crazy. And again, one of those things that can only happen in Kansas. There's no other place that that's happened. It didn't happen in North Carolina when they lost their coach. It is not happening currently at Duke with John Shire. It's not happening at Villanova or at Michigan State or any of these other kind of places. The fact that it happened at Kansas, that they replaced a Hall of Fame coach and got an even better Hall of Fame coach, it's reason 127 on why I don't like them. Just everything always works out for them. You know what? I feel the way about Kansas that all these other teams feel about Patrick Mahomes. Like, I'm sure you've heard it before. All the arguments that Bengals fans make about Patrick Mahomes, you guys kind of laugh at, that's how I feel about Kansas. We know the officials cheat for them when they're in that building. How do they win all the time? You know you get sick of watching them win every time. And sometimes you'll watch, but man, that's it. They're down 8 at half to Texas. Oh, this is it. This is it. No, it's not it. It's never it. Even the years you think they're going to be down, they still figure it out. And then they have that one game every year in which they wheel out all their accomplishments, and it's just all this crystal. And it's the worst. That's how I feel about Kansas. That's the best way I can explain it. I'm a Bills fan. I'm a Bengals fan. That's who I am. I'm a Ravens fan. I love it. It's great. That's who I am. I cheer for the Ravens. And Bill Self, he's my Patrick Mahomes. They're my Chiefs. I'm tired of seeing them win. And I know a lot of you out there, you feel the same way. So we got to start being kinder to our other NFL brothers when they're going through the exact same thing. You get a respite from it because you cheer for the Chiefs. Imagine if you were on the other side. Empathy is one of the greatest qualities you can have as a human being. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor, who also knows what I'm talking about because he is a Missouri fan. Nate Taylor's going to come up here. We'll get his thoughts on. There's a lot of stuff. Is this a trap game against the Denver Broncos? We'll get his thoughts on the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll also get his thoughts on the Ravens' pass defense, which is absolutely porous. I mean, they have a leaky pass defense. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs and what we saw from DeAndre Hopkins on Monday Night Football. Nate Taylor up next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.